The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, praise God. I want to talk to you. I'm going to pick up where I left off with the message, the series that I'm speaking on, enlarging the place of your tent. In Isaiah 54:2, the scripture tells us, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not spare. Listen, he's saying it is important that you recognize that God has called us to enlarge our tent, to stretch out the curtain of our dwelling, the place of our influence. I believe what he's telling us, he's talking about the influence that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to make a difference in this world. I believe that difference should be in every area of our life. I've mentioned that I believe that it should begin at home. It's not going to go anyplace if it doesn't begin at home. We must have our greatest impact, our greatest influence in our homes, regardless of whether we're married, single, parents, grandparents. It doesn't matter. We need to have an influence over our households. So I just want to mention to you that in regards to tent dwelling, our heritage goes back to tent dwellers, back to Abraham, who dwelt in tents in the promised land that God gave him. And God promised him that wherever he put his foot, the sole of his foot would tread, that would be his land. God promised that he was going to prosper him. God promised many things to Abraham. And some of the things that he promised to Abraham did not see them fulfilled in his lifetime. But he trusted God. The Word of God tells us that by faith, he believed it was all going to take place. And it certainly has today. The children of Israel are back in the land. They're living there again today, and it's a fulfillment of the overall prophecy. Regardless of what you feel about Israel today and some of the things they do, I'm not 100% with everything they do. There's some atrocities that take place, but they're still fulfilling Bible prophecy by being in the land, and many things that they are doing is fulfilling God's word. So I just want to mention to you that how important it is for us to recognize that tent dwelling is a part of our heritage. And as the children of God, when he says to enlarge your tent, the place of your tent, Abraham, wherever he put his tent, he influenced. He influenced every area, every place of that of what is now referred to as Palestine. So for us, I just want us to recognize that as we go through this teaching, that I'm talking about the kind of influence that we should have as believers in Jesus Christ. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out that curtain. Stretch it out. Do not spare. Recognize that God wants you to continue influencing, beginning at home, in your church, in the workplace. We're going to talk about those things this morning. Every place we go, we should be influencing people, the world's kingdoms, for the kingdom of God. Amen? Influence. You know, I heard a little story about Bill and Hillary Clinton when Bill was president of the United States. And they were taking a trip one day. They were just trying to get away, so they were going cruising up the coast. And one day, as they were traveling, they realized they needed gas. So they stopped to get gas. And when they stopped, Hillary screamed and said, "Oh, Charlie!" And she jumped out of the car and ran over to this guy and hugged him, and he hugged her. And they talked for a long time. Got back in the car, and they started driving away. And President Clinton said to her, "Who was that?" She said, "Well, that was Charlie. That was one of my boyfriends. I almost married him." And Bill thought about it for a minute, and he said, well, just think about it, Hillary. Had you married him, you would be the happy wife of a gas station attendant. She looked at him and she said, no, Bill, if I married him, he would be president. Yeah. We're talking about influence, right? Amen. Yeah, and we have no doubt that Hillary had great influence on President Bill. However, I do believe that that's important for us husbands and wives. We must realize that we have influence on each other. We should be influencing each other for the kingdom of God. We don't always do that, but that should be our emphasis. That should be our goal, is to influence each other for the kingdom. So as we talked about this, I mentioned last week, I talked about how important it is to love your spouse. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. These scriptures, and there's many more that encourage us to have love and respect and honor one another as believers in Jesus Christ, so that the kingdom of God will not be tarnished. Other people are looking at us, and our relationship and our families are very, very important. And also, I talked about parents loving your children. That doesn't mean you let them get away with bad behavior. That's not love. Doesn't mean that you allow them to do what or give them everything that they want. That's not love. Love, however, I know kids would differ with me on this. Love really says no, often. Amen? Love, here's what Proverbs says, 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we have a responsibility to train our children, to discipline them properly. And then in Proverbs 13:24, it says this, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I know kids don't like to hear that, but this is a reality. Discipline is mandatory to shape and mold our children properly. Now, I'm not a proponent of spanking your child, whipping them, using the rod on them every time they do something wrong. I believe there are many times there are other forms of discipline that really work really well. However, there are times that is necessary. When your child stands up in your face and defiantly says, no, I'm not going to do that, that's one of those times. You must realize your children, that rebellious nature is something that you have to help them get under control. Otherwise, they will grow up as adults and become rebellious in the face of Almighty God. And our desire is to shape and mold them into not children, but into productive members of society. Amen? That are promoting the kingdom of God wherever they go. All right. Love your spouse, love your children. The second thing that I wanted to share with you in regards to the influence that we should have is influence in the church. This, you know, we probably don't think about that very much, but we're all influencing each other. Hopefully I'm influencing you in the proper way. I want to influence you up, not down. I want to influence you to a higher calling, to more of a greater and stronger relationship with the Lord. Can't get more of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that. You receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You have Holy Spirit, and you don't get more of Him. But you can grow closer to Almighty God through Him. You can encourage your relationship with Him. You can build on it and grow in it. You know, I love my wife, and my love for her really is very strong. And my desire for us to be strong and continue to grow together is awesome. But my love really never gets stronger. It just maintains its strength. And that's the way it is with our relationship with Almighty God. It's supposed to be, we're supposed to maintain the strength of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us in our relationship with Almighty God. Tent encampments in the Bedouin Arabs, they live together in tribes. And they do that still today. And they call themselves clans. Their tents are mostly pitched. When they pitch their tents, they pitch them in large circles to make it possible to protect one another and their flocks. And one of the interesting things about the values of the Bedouin society are they're vested in ancient code of honor. They call for total loyalty to the clan. Amen, church. Total loyalty to the clan. And that's the whole body of Christ. They need this loyalty to survive. And I believe that speaks to the church of Jesus Christ. We need to have some loyalty to one another. We need to recognize this is a covenant that we have with each other. For us to dissolve that covenant because somebody said something to us that hurt our feelings is wrong. The one thing that we have to realize about relationship is that relationship takes work. If you're going to have relationship with somebody, you are going to get hurt from time to time. Tammy says things to me sometimes that hurt. I say things to her sometimes that hurt. But we're committed to our covenant so that when that hurt happens, we begin to work on it. We begin to talk about it. We begin to work through it so that we do not dissolve the covenant that God has established in our life with one another. The same thing applies to the body of Christ. We are called, we have a mandate to work through every situation that arises in our midst. We are called by Almighty God not to wear our emotions on our sleeve, not to allow the enemy to speak to us and cause us to be offended. We have a responsibility to overcome offense and deal with the issue. Now, sometimes that means that you have to be face-to-face with one another. Share your feelings with each other about how you felt about that situation. In most cases, I've seen this happen, it's been a misunderstanding. If you share the truth with somebody, they'll say, well, I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean it to come across that way. There's a lot of healing that takes place when we will go to our brother and our sister and deal with these issues. Look with me at 1 John 4. First John chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Amen? That's the world system. It lies under the sway of the God of this world. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true and are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And another place it says unspotted from the world. So our responsibility is as a clan to cleave together, to cleave to one another, to love one another, and to make sure that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. 1 John chapter 4. Oh, I read 5. Okay. I'm sorry. It worked. Praise God. That must have been God's will. Amen. Certainly wasn't mine. Okay, here's the one I really meant to read. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that we who loves God, he who loves God must love his brother also. So awesome. Praise God. I read that first one because it fit right in to this scripture, which tells us, guess what? It's love that is the answer. Amen? Love, loving one another. If we can't say that if we don't love our brother, how can we say that we're loving God or we truly love God? I can tell you this, I have run across so many professing Christians that have bitterness and anger in their hearts towards somebody because they felt like they've been misused or abused, and they may have a right to that bitterness and anger, but I want to tell you, the one that it's affecting most and harming is that individual, not someone else. God wants us to be free of those things. Loving our brother. Loving our sister, loving one another. God wants you to have influence in this church. He wants you to rise up, love your brother, love the body, and serve with all your heart. You know, when Tammy and I first became Christians, we came out of a crazy lifestyle, you know. Drugs, alcohol, just a bunch of craziness. But we accepted Christ and we didn't turn back. We decided to serve him with all our heart. And we wanted to get involved, so we started doing some things in the church. And one of the things that really caught me off guard was that sometimes when you start doing things for the kingdom of God, I'd say almost always, there's opposition. Amen? The problem is, the opposition shouldn't be in the church. It should be outside the church. However, many times it is in the church. And when we got involved with doing things, we got some opposition from people within the church. They didn't like the idea that we were willing to step up and start doing things. And, you know, why? I'm not sure what their thinking was. But it was really difficult. For us, because, you know, we wanted to do the right thing. And the good thing was, and here's what you got to hold on to, you know your motivation. You know your heart. And we knew our heart. Our heart was just to serve. So therefore, we served, regardless of what anybody else said. When we moved to Athens, we started going to a different church, and lo and behold, some of the same things started happening. We wanted to get involved. My wife, Tammy, all she wanted to do was serve. So she got up front, and in those days, we used overheads. How many remember the overheads days? You know, flip those overheads. You had to have somebody up there flipping those overheads. So Tammy volunteered to flip the overheads. She did that for a couple of weeks, and wasn't too long after that, we started hearing rumors that Tammy and Rob Barber are trying to take over the church. Merely because she was flipping the overheads. What a crazy attitude that is. And you know what? Yeah, praise God. My motivation is to serve. It always has been. And you know, the funny thing is, I have taken over the church. Hallelujah. wasn't my intention, but it was God's will. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Make sure that you have the right heart, but serve with all that is in you. Serve the body of Christ. Influence the church to the best of your ability. You know, there's a lot of you out there I could say great things about, because God is using you. God is, He's promoted you. But one of the families in this church that has really, I've just seen God do so many things in their life, is Billy and Siva Wells. Amen. Siva first started coming here. I think she was came to a women's conference. And then was a while later, Billy started coming. And you know, they came out of some stuff too. But over the years, what I've seen is that God just taking those two, because they had a heart to serve. And they're servants at heart. If you think they're trying to take over the church, yeah, they are. Praise God. As a pastor, I'm saying hallelujah. Bring me more of those people, Father. But God has done such a work in their life. Siva is working with the youth. Billy's the head usher and working with the men's ministry. And honestly, you know, whatever I ask them to do, they're ready. They just step up. They want to serve. These, and there's so many of you sitting out here this morning, and I want to thank you all for recognizing what it means to influence people in your church. The influence that we have on one another carries over into our society, where we are, what we do, the things that God has called us to. And that's the next point that I want to make. You know, before I talk about the marketplace, I do need to share something, because I think it's extremely important that we recognize how the world is viewing us as believers. For the most part, the world has a negative thoughts about the church and who we are. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's some craziness going on out there. People are doing things and saying things that they say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian, and then they do something that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. I just recently stumbled onto this. I had no idea that it was even existing. But something called Christian swingers. Anybody ever heard of that? It's not Christian. No, I can tell you that. However, these two people that started a particular website, they call themselves fitness swingers. They've done a YouTube promotional. They've had write-ups in different papers. One of the articles that I read was the Huffington Post. And they're a Florida couple. They met while they were bodybuilding. And they started a website. They started this website because they wanted to hook up with other people who wanted to swing with them, exchange spouses. Yeah, that's what I thought. This is what they say. We started this online network 7 years ago and haven't looked back. I bet not. The pillars of the relationship, a commitment to their faith in Jesus Christ, to fitness, and to the ideas of the swinger lifestyle. There's absolutely nothing Christian about this. This is hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, sensuality, and self-indulgence. I share this with you because I just want you to know how crazy it can be out there. People can make up any doctrine they want. And these two people say, oh, we don't feel like God is condemning us at all The guy said in the interview, he said, if God tells me it's a sin, I'll stop doing it. Read the Word of God. That's right. Amen. Doesn't take a whole lot of reading of the Word of God, and you'll find out almost immediately these things are wrong. God does condemn it. God does convict. And if you're not being convicted by doing things that are wrong, there's something wrong with the heart. But I can tell you this, you can ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit over and over and over to the point that you become so hard-hearted that you'll not bow to it. All right. Last thing I want to share with you is marketplace. Your job. This is influence. This is what we're talking about. You must influence people wherever you go, in your job, your business, your career, your education, whatever you're doing. And you need to be the kind of example. You are an ambassador for Christ. Christ has called you to be an example for Him. So wherever you go, people should be able to look at you and see you as a little Christ. That's what Christian means. An example. They should see your lifestyle that exemplary to the kingdom of God. That people see you and recognize that Jesus truly is a part of your life, that you truly are filled with the Holy Spirit. Your desire is to do good and do right. Proverbs 21:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than get great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. One of the things about the Bedouin Arabs, they're fiercely independent and they're usually very friendly, hospitable. They're honest. They buy and sell in the marketplace, but they keep themselves separated from the ills of society. Their social interaction is usually limited to the business dealings of, you know, their interaction with the society is because of their business. Many times they only have vehicles, but sometimes they buy trucks, they haul their animals and transport them to market. Their entertainment is mostly confined to tribal events. Believers, that's a good example for us. Now, I'm not telling you that you can't interact with the world. You should interact with the world. That's the only way that you're going to be salt and light, is interacting with them. Just don't become part of the world. You're in this world, not of this world. Do not allow yourself to become tainted with the world and the world system like those Christian swingers. And there's all kinds of other examples that we can share that these kind of things are going on. God has called His people to be different, to rise above, to have a higher standard, to raise the bar. So that people can look at us and see that, hey, there's something different about those people. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to visit orphans, widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we get spotted with the world just sees us as just another extension of them. What they need to see is a body that is salt and light to them, that will show them truth. Well, and sometimes they don't want to see truth. They don't want to hear truth. But it's our responsibility to walk in truth. Let me share with you, I'm going to leave you with a few encouraging words about the body of Christ. You know, I've preached this, I've shared this many times that, and these are based on statistics that have been taken about the body of Christ and marriage. I've shared that the marriage in the body of Christ is basically, the divorce rate, I mean, is basically the same in the body of Christ as it is in the secular world. Well, I started doing some more research, and I found out that those numbers were a little bit skewed because They were taking interviews of people who, many of them claimed Christianity, but was not really living Christianity. They were not going to church regularly. They were not praying. They were not seeking God. They were not reading their Bible. Their Christianity was shallow. So a large part of the numbers that was taken for that survey really doesn't reflect the true evangelical church that we know. The people, you people, that are sitting here in this place, that are sitting in churches all over our nation today, in strong, conservative teaching churches that teach the Bible as the truth and the reality of the Word of God. A lady by the name of Shante Feldham is a Harvard-trained social researcher. She's a popular speaker. She's a best-selling author as well. Her most recent book is The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages. Sounds like a good book. I'm planning on getting that. She writes this: highly happy couples tend to put God at the center of their marriage and focus on Him, rather than on their marriage or spouse for fulfillment and happiness. Those are the kind of things that I preach. You get this vertical relationship with God in order, your other relationships fall in place. God is number one. He always has to be number one. If I make God number one and my spouse number two, that's the order. That's the proper order. My children are number three. Church, number four. Extended family. You know, there's an order of things. And when we get that order right, namely God, then everything else is right. Everything else works. Here's what they found out. Our research conducted finds active conservative Protestants who attend church regularly are actually 35% less likely to divorce than those who have no religious preferences. What they found out was that 53% of very happy couples agree with this statement: God is the center of our marriage. Amen. When God becomes the center of the marriage, opposed to 7% that said God is the center of our marriage, but we're not happy. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here. 30% of the people said God is not, of evangelical Christians, said that God is not the center of our marriage. There's the problem right there. Then these are the people that are very unhappy in their marriage. In fact, there are statistics that say that among evangelical Christians that are not practicing, not going to church regularly, reading their Bible, praying, but were raised in the faith, the divorce rate is even higher among those people. Now, why? Because they're forsaking where happiness begins. They're searching, they're trying to find happiness in a person or a relationship when they should be making their happiness based on Almighty God and their relationship with Him. I think these are good things. We must always remember that we're ambassadors for Christ. You represent Jesus Christ in the workplace, in your life, wherever you go. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." When we set an example, the world sees that example. Even in your workplace, people are going to recognize that you're the, you know, I know many of you, you've been ridiculed at work, but when somebody goes through a crisis, guess who they come to? The one that's set the right example. Bob Taylor, he comes and helps on Tuesdays doing some things around the church, and he told me one day that, you know, he's He shares his faith with people on his job, and he's retired now. With Sporn, right? Yeah. And worked there for many years, retired from there. But he wasn't afraid to share the gospel with people and take a stand for what was right. And because of that, people recognized that his integrity, his honesty, the kind of man that he was. And he said that one time he was in it, and I may not get all the details right. He can straighten them out. But he told me that one time he was in charge of a fund for something. And they had it in a particular place, and it wasn't locked up or anything. And money came up missing out of that fund. And he was in charge of it. So the higher-ups realized that some money had been taken. And you know, of course, Bob said, you know, listen, I didn't take this, but I'll be willing to pay it back. And because of the kind of character that Bob had established in his relationship with people there, they didn't even suspect him as the one who took the money. They actually told him, he said, no, we don't think you took it, but we think we know who did. So they set up a sting operation, and they caught the guy that did take the money. But I think it's awesome for us, you know, when we set the right pattern in our life and we set an example, when something like that comes up, we're not even suspected. Because people say, oh, yeah, that person would never do that. My friend Randy Falks, who goes to church here, he's not here today. I'll get after him for that. But he has a job as the meter maintenance man and collects the money from the meters in Athens. He handles thousands and thousands of dollars every year. I forget how much he told me, but it's an incredible amount that he handles. He has to be a trustworthy person. The reason he got that job, he was told this by one of the officials, the reason he got that job was because they felt they could trust him with their wallet. They could give him their wallet full of money, and they could trust it. And they trust him in that position. That's the kind of integrity we must carry over into our whole life, in every area of our life. Believe it or not, Christianity does make a difference in the culture. And when we make a difference individually, we make a difference collectively. And the culture sees it. And the culture responds to it. I believe even though we are a postmodern, post-Christian nation at this point, because many are turning away from the church and God, our influence is vitally needed today. We must influence our culture. One of the things that the world recognizes is this: Christianity makes a society better. It really does. Listen to what Communist China says. Communist China's Academy of Social Science testified recently about the phenomenon of the United States and the Western world, the dominance that we've had in the world. This is what happened. This is what they said. We were asked to look into what accounted for the preeminence of the West all over the world. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had. Then we thought it was because you had the best political system. Next, we focused on your economic system. But in the past 20 years, we have realized the heart of your culture is religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful. The Christian moral foundation of social and cultural life was what made possible the emergence of capitalism and then the successful transition to democratic politics. We do not have any doubt about this. Communist China is saying this. Christianity impacts culture. We will impact our culture together. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.